Good morning. Welcome to hour number two of Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. The producers, Harriet Williamson, Martha Deal, Henry Frayne is at the controls. In this part of the show, this second hour of the show, we'll be talking about the Champaign County Nursing Home. The Champaign County Nursing Home has now been in operation for more than 70 years, and certainly it has been praised by many people in our community for the quality of care that's provided. However, it has had some financial difficulties, and questions have been raised about its long-term financial viability, leading some people, in fact, to ask whether the county should be in the nursing home business at all, and maybe they should sell it and get out of the business. In this hour, we'll try to look at some of the problems faced by the nursing home and talk a little bit about its future. And we have here with us in the studio three guests. Andrew Buffenbarger is the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home, has been since August of 2005. He is a licensed nursing home administrator and has been since 1997. And we also have two members of the Champaign County Board, Greg Knott and Barbara Wysocki. Greg Knott is from St. Joe. He represents District 4 on the county board. He was first elected in 2000 and reelected in 2002 and 2006. He chairs the Republican caucus. He's a member of the Policy Appointments and Personnel Committee and the Highway Committee. Barb Wysocki has been on the board since 1998, and she represents District 9 in southeast Urbana. She has served on a number of county board committees, including Finance, which she chaired from 2000 until 2004. Also, she has served as chair of the board. That was from 2004 until 2006. And questions here, welcome from people who are listening. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Well, thanks all three of you to you for being here. We appreciate it. And obviously, there's a lot we could talk about. We could fill more than 1 hour, certainly. So we'll see if we can try at least hit some of the basic questions. I want to start out with this, although I don't want the whole program to become dominated by the privatization issue. But that's something that has recently come up here in Champaign County. And maybe let me ask you this question, and I'll start with Barb Wysocki, because you just, in fact, recently wrote a piece that was published in the newspaper, mm-hmm. In which you said you thought it was important for the county to continue to own and run the nursing home. It was an argument against the privatization. Let me just, can you talk briefly about why it is that you think that it is important for essentially the Champaign County Nursing Home to continue as it has been?
Well, for starters, the nursing the Champaign County has been in this kind of business since the 1860s. In the course of the Civil War, Champaign County was already operating a poor farm, which was a way in which society was dealing with people who were elderly or indigent and simply did not have families to support them or to help them at that critical point in their life. And throughout its history, I mean, we're now talking about over 100 years. The county has been in this kind of service. And to me, I think it's a real hallmark of a county, a local unit of government, to be that attentive to the needs of those who in our midst are certainly less fortunate. I can fully understand where the temptation has been there at several junctures to say, okay, enough is enough. We have social nets now, which came about in the New Deal period, where Social Security came into play. In the 60s, we had Medicare that came into play. And certainly relying on this valuable old institution probably seemed a bit archaic to a lot of folks. But I think given this crisis that we're in with the state and its ability or its willingness to provide for elders in our community at an advanced age, to me, it really seems more important now than ever for the county to be doing this kind of thing.
Let me then now turn to Greg Knott and essentially ask you the same question. Do you think that this is an institution that is viable over the long term? Should it be something that is a service provided by county government?
You know, I share Barb's point of view of the history of it, and to some degree, I look at it from a more of a practical standpoint. In 2002, we put two ballot questions before the public, and we asked the voters what they thought. Number one, should the county board issue bonds to build a new facility? Number two, were they willing to put an additional tax on the property value of their homes to pay an operating amount for the nursing home? And they said yes to both. And so, and that's, you know, in politics, really that's in the very recent past. And so they've told us that. We've put up a building with, you know, obviously some difficulties as it went up. And so I think my point of view is at this point, we need to stay the course and continue to operate the home. I mean, taxpayers have invested $25 million. The county board has helped from the general revenue funds of our operation to help, you know, get the nursing home through the difficult time. So, you know, from a practical standpoint, I think the voters have invested a lot of money, and I think we need to see it through, you know, to get it to the point again that it's cash flow positive. And quite frankly, we've taken a number of steps that have done that. So, you know, I don't know that in this day and age if we would necessarily start a nursing home, you know, if a county government was, you know, looking to do certain things. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we have one. The voters said, yes, we want you to build it. Yes, we're willing to support it. And quite frankly, it's the responsibility of the county board now to try to fix the problem. And that's what we've, you know, been working on.
Let me turn to Andrew Buffenbarger. Let me ask you this question just straight flat out. Say, over the last 10 years, how many years has the nursing home been in the red and how many years has it been in the black?
I believe over the last 10 years it's been in the black twice and red the remaining eight.
All right. And if I ask you this, what do you think are the main reasons that the home has run all these deficits? Are there one or two things that you can point to as being the chief factors?
There are two items that have been really, really difficult for the nursing home to manage. One is that the Medicaid population is ever-growing, and the folks who are taken care of at the Champaign County Nursing Home under the Medicaid program, their stay is not covered completely. The cost of their care is not covered completely by that state-funded program. The other were the Medicare caps that were placed on all nursing homes in 1998. And so we went from a fee-for-service business to something similar to what the hospitals use. It's called the DRG program, where there are capped reimbursement amounts for all of the things that we do. And it's been difficult for the nursing home to change its business style in order to adapt to those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, what can you do if you have the situation where you have these patients for which you're getting reimbursement from the government and your cost to provide the service is up here? I'm making a gesture like that helps on the radio. You know, the cost of the service is up here, but what the government is giving you is less. You know, what do you do other than obviously there are things you can do to try to cut your costs. You can have fewer staff. You can charge your paying patients more. You know, there are a number of things. But realistically, what can you do to make up for that gap between what it costs to provide the service and the reimbursement that you're getting?
Well, therein lies the creativity of business and finding those niches in healthcare, long-term care specifically, that still garner enough reimbursement that you can cover those costs. And the idea is to find enough patients who can either pay on their own or come in under a different reimbursement style to offset the losses of those folks who do not.
Mm. Now, let me ask you, and I don't know, either of you guys can comment about this. What role does the county board play? Do the county board members play in making business decisions or any decisions that have to do with how the nursing home runs? Is the board directly involved in that?
You know, the nursing home falls on a flow chart under the Justice and Public Safety Committee, and Andrew reports to that committee. You know, the county board in general, you know, doesn't and shouldn't be involved in the day-to-day, minute-to-minute operations. That's why we hired a very fine administrator to do that for us. We set policy and give guidance and oversight, and that should be the role of the county board.
Mm-hmm. And now the board is considering a proposal to create an advisory board for the nursing home that apparently would there would be some members of the county board on this advisory board, but there would be other people who were not. And the idea was that this would be an advisory board. That is, they wouldn't have authority to tell Andrew what to do, but to provide their advice. So here I'll ask Barbara, do you think that this having this advisory board would be positive, productive? Would it help Andrew in make decisions that would be good for the long-term viability of the nursing home?
Well, Andrew sure seems to think so. Mm-hmm. But I think as the discussion is going, we're envisioning that this board will consist of professionals in the healthcare field, for example. And I think part of the ability to stay up on where the trends are going, what money is on the table, what we can do to be creative, as Andrew suggests, is to surround ourselves with people in the healthcare business who know the healthcare business. Mm-hmm. We envision that we will have some financial types on this board as well, because again, so much of the decisions that Andrew has to make, and ultimately the county board has to make, has to do with the finances of the institution. And again, I think what we're looking to do is to adapt some of the best practices of the private sector, the business world, apply them to this public institution, and hope that we have and anticipate we're going to have a good marriage between those two, which will enable the nursing home to become viable.
Mm-hmm. And this idea to have this board created, this has not yet been considered by the county board as a whole, right?
The bylaws for this board are to go before the county board at its January meeting, which is next week.
All right. And do you think, Greg, that this would be a good idea?
I think it's a great step forward. You know, DeKalb County has used a similar model, and we've looked at them and talked with their staff and administrators extensively. And to me, I think it's the next logical step in moving the nursing home forward, both financially and in its operations. And you know, again, I think it's well worth the investment of our time to have looked at this. And I think, you know, the boards worked hard. We had a few folks that, you know, weren't bought in early. But I think over time, more people have kind of opened their mind to it and said, you know, I think it's worth a try. It's worth a try to bring in these medical and financial experts to really help, you know, give some guidance to an institution that can succeed under the right circumstances.
And just let me come back real quick, and then I've got some callers here I want to go to. Let me ask Andrew Buffenbarger. You think that this would be, to have this advisory board in place, would be good for the nursing home and would be helpful in trying to make it more financially solvent?
I do. It's getting harder and harder to find those little niches in long-term care where you can find those offsetting dollars. And I'm pretty confident that this group of folks who are in the healthcare community locally, they can help us find those areas that we should be driving towards.
Mm. We have three guests here in the studio. Andrew Buffenbarger, he's the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. And we have two members of the Champaign County Board, Greg Knott and Barbara Whitesaki. Barbara is a Democrat. Greg is a Republican. We want to be bipartisan here in our panel this morning. Questions are certainly welcome from people who are listening. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And we have several callers, and we'll get right to them, starting with someone in Champaign and on line number one.
Hello. Good morning.
Yes.
I spent 3 weeks recovering from knee replacement surgery at the Champaign County Nursing Home, and I cannot say enough good things about my experience. First of all, the facility is new and spotlessly clean. The staff is wonderful. I looked at 5 different nursing homes in this in Champaign-Urbana, and one out in Paxton, which my wonderful doctor, Dr. Dangles, recommended because the rehab was so good at the nursing home in Paxton. And of all of them, I chose the Champaign County Nursing Home for many reasons. First of all, it has a wonderful rehab staff. And I came in on a Friday late afternoon, early evening, and so physical therapy wasn't going to be up and running again until Monday. And the head of the physical therapy, Melody, came in to see me on Saturday, gave me some tips, checked me over, looked to see what I can do. And I started out by not even being able to lift my right leg 1/2 inch off the bed. And I left 3 weeks later walking with a cane, which I never use except if I have to go outside. And I think the Champaign County Nursing Home has the best rehab facilities. I had a wonderful therapist, Denise, who was there every step of the way with me and two or three steps ahead of me as well, because she kept thinking about the goals and the exercises and what did I have to do, because I told her I was anxious to go out under my own speed. And they were just wonderful. But I have to tell you, not only was physical therapy wonderful, but everybody I came in contact to, and the thing that most impressed me about the staff is the way they treated the residents. They treated them with respect, with warmth, and with dignity. And I had not seen that in nursing homes before. I looked into nursing homes for my parents. I did a quick review of the area for my brother. Even in California, I looked into nursing homes for a great aunt. But I think the Champaign County Nursing Home stands head and shoulders above almost any facility. Now, there is one other very good facility, and that's an excellent high-end facility, and that is Clark Lindsay Village and their Bow.
Yes.
And their Meadowbrook skilled care facility. And it's a very expensive one, and nobody can afford to go to Clark's Lindsay Village to retire. But Champaign County makes it possible for the average citizen in Champaign County to go to an excellent nursing home, whether it's for long-term care because they're going to be a permanent resident, or whether it's going to be short-term rehabilitation care, as it was for myself. And I'm kind of aware of the long history of the Champaign County Nursing Home. When I came here in 56 as a student, I happened to read in the paper that Carrie Busey, who was a school teacher for many years in the Champaign-Urbana area, decided that she was going to retire to the Champaign County Nursing Home when she left teaching. Now, I assumed that a Busey, I banked at Busey Bank, could go anywhere she or he wanted to retire, and she chose the Champaign County Nursing Home, which kind of amazed me. Coming from Chicago, I thought, oh, Champaign County Nursing Home. But then over the years, as I stayed and I visited elderly parents and elderly relatives of my friends, I was very impressed with the Champaign County Nursing Home. I thought they treated people very gently, very kindly, very warmly. And I thought, boy, you know, someday I wonder if I'm going to need this. Well, here I am, you know, 50 years later, and indeed I needed the Champaign County Nursing Home. And, you know, someday I'm going to be, you know, 80 and 85, and I might need that long-term care. And I would like to know that the Champaign County Nursing Home is there and available and not in private hands, because I think that the county is a much more compassionate owner than will be a private care nursing home. And I did not see, but I have heard about the wonderful Alzheimer's unit at the nursing home, and I'm told that the people who staff that wing are very carefully trained, are professionals who only work with the Alzheimer patients. Well, I'm hoping I don't get to that stage, but, you know, nobody gets off this planet alive. Mm. So, you know, I may need the Champaign County Nursing Home, and I hope it's there in its current incarnation.
Well, I appreciate the comments. I'm sure that we could continue with this and get a lot of positive comments. And as far as I know, people have always spoken well of the nursing home. I think, in fact, going back to when we had the discussion back in 2002 about these referenda, that the comments that I heard from people seemed to be overwhelmingly positive about the quality of care. So it doesn't seem that there's ever been any sort of doubt about the fact that it was a good place to be.
No, I think it's developed its own culture really over 100 plus years, and that culture has been to serve people in an excellent, compassionate fashion. And, you know, we're doing that today out there. And, you know, by and large, that's all done by through the efforts of the staff. I mean, they're the ones, you know, 24 hours a day taking care of my relatives and many others in the community. So I think, you know, that's due in large part to the outstanding staff we've had out there for a long time.
I would just like to add that in 2002, when we were out knocking on doors for the referenda, we heard testimonial after testimonial, very much like this caller's. I met people who had volunteered there. I met people who worked on the staff. I met people who had an occasion to be there for a temporary stay. It just flowed. I mean, all you had to do is, you know, hold that little piece of literature out in their direction. And people just took signs willingly because they all had such positive experiences to talk about. And again, I think that speaks volumes about the importance of this institution in this community and the willingness of people to continue to support it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I have some other questions. Real quick, though, I wanted to ask Andrew Buffenbarger, do you think the institution would change? In what ways do you think the institution would change if it would change if it went private?
I honestly don't know. I suspect the public's perception of it would change instantly. Mm-hmm. We have the benefit of being owned by the community. We have deep roots in this community, and so we have, you know, we get a lot of positive comments like this, and our care is superb, and it only helps that we're publicly owned. So I honestly don't know how that would change if it were to be privatized, but I'm pretty confident the perception would change quickly.
All right, let's talk with somebody else here at Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Hello. I recently had to shop around for a nursing home for my father in the community, and I can say there is a crisis of care in this community because I've really had a difficult time finding any place that I've found would be suitable and high enough quality for my father. He's currently in Chicago at a nursing home that I think is higher quality than most of the places here, but I'd love to bring him down here to be with me. I did choose the Champaign County Nursing Home. I would love to have him there, but unfortunately, there's a really huge waiting list. He's on a waiting list now that they say is about 10 months long, but it's quite possible that it could be longer. And I understand that a quarter of the beds are for Medicare, so the woman previously had the fortunate situation of being able to get a Medicare bed, which I understand are much easier to get. But if you aren't Medicare, then it's much more difficult to get a bed. And I also understand that the facility is moving from two-person rooms to single-person occupancy rooms. So actually the number of beds has decreased. And I voted for the referendum. I was very happy to. But I didn't realize that the number of beds would actually decrease in the new facility. And I also wonder why the facility was built for double occupancy rooms. The rooms are quite large. And now it's being converted to single occupancy rooms. If this change had been anticipated, and I'm all for having single occupancy rooms, I think it's really important to have privacy and dignity. But why not build it that way to begin with for single rooms, which could have been smaller? You could have had more rooms and perhaps have group bathrooms instead of a single bathroom in each room, which takes up a lot of space and it's quite expensive to build, I would imagine. Yeah. So I'm wondering, why move to single beds? Is it to reduce staffing? And why not anticipate that when you're building the new building and take that into account? It's really disappointing to vote for the referendum and then not have as many beds in the new facility and to find this real problem in trying to find quality care. 10 months is a long time in the life of someone who's near their end.
Well, so, let's ask Andrew Buffenbarger, what about that?
Well, there are sections of the building that are being converted to private rooms. When we moved in all of the beds and we moved in the furniture, it was clear that the room size was pretty undesirable. And long-term, nursing homes have been converting to private rooms all over the place. That's very common. Hospitals are doing the same thing, and we wanted to join that trend. So at least in the long-term care section, a lot of our rooms are being converted to private. The section of the facility that takes care of folks with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia is and will remain all semi-private rooms. And the rehab section is a combination of private and semi-private. So it's really just a matter of getting on board with the trends in healthcare and making sure that we're going to be viable long term.
Did the caller want to follow up on that?
Well, I'm just, I guess I'm concerned because we have this crisis in our community, and I think the Champaign County Nursing Home is a really valuable resource, especially because there are so many places in the community that limit the number of Medicaid beds. And so if you're on Medicaid, you could be several years on a waiting list, and Clark Lindsay doesn't take any Medicaid. So, and I'm sure there are other facilities like that. So it is a really important resource, and I do want it to remain in the public hands. But it's just really frustrating because it's such a scarce resource. And I'm wondering, you know, I want it to be solvent, but I also want it to be able to serve more people because there is such a great need.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the comment. Is really the issue that you felt that the rooms were really too small to have two people in them?
They really were. Once we got all of the furniture in them, they were about the size of a traditional nursing home bed. And in a new facility, when you're really looking forward at how this place is going to be viable, you have to consider what folks' preferences are for living space. And it is that private room that folks seek out. And fortunately, we're able to offer those regardless of payer source. So even folks who are there under a Medicaid stay can be in a private room, which is terrific. But we have to consider what's going to work in the future.
Well, and did you would you looking back on it now, do you think that was a bad design choice on somebody's part, and that you should have been able to figure out if you originally thought you'd be able to get two people in a room, and then once you got there and it was built and you saw the size of the room and you had your furniture, you thought, well, wait a minute, this is not going to work. I mean, how did that happen?
Well, it's just real common when you build a replacement facility that you take the same number of licensed beds from the old to the new. It's an entirely different application process to try and reduce the number of beds that you offer. And so what happens is you plan on developing a building the same size and the same occupancy, and then when you get in there, you just have to make adjustments as you go. It might be that later on we find that trend doesn't develop and we change everything back to semi-privates. Okay. Who knows?
We're a little bit past the midpoint here, and I'll get to another call in just a second, but I would like to introduce again our guest. Andrew Buffenbarger is the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home, and also here in the studio we have Barbara Wysocki and Greg Knott. They're both members of the Champaign County Board, and we're trying to talk a little bit about the home as it exists and some of the difficulties that it's faced and its long-term future. Questions, comments are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. And we'll talk with someone else here on line number 3 in Urbana. Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you? Mm-hmm. This is a very interesting issue. Last September, October, the New York Times did an in-depth analysis of the privatization of nursing homes in Florida, I think South Carolina, and a couple of northern states. And their conclusions were not that positive. One of the reasons was probably due to state laws, where the way in which these were structured, legal structures, you know, the company would buy them or they'd be sold to groups, and they would structure these things to where you had 40 separate entities owning these organizations. And the reason this came out was because of litigation in Florida, and they interviewed lawyers who are trying to sue these places for malcare or whatever term you want to use. And so the New York Times even pursued this further. You can actually see this article nytimes.com if you search their internal search engine. It's really long. It's like two or three issues. But it's interesting to me that it seemed to me more like a money thing to the buyers of these of these nursing homes. They would get these payments from the state or the federal government or insurance companies, and they would reduce staff. I mean, it was almost like a pattern. Now, whether they were the same organizations owned by myriad companies, you know, like you have, you know, you can have, I've incorporated two or three companies over the years, and you can layer these things to protect yourself from litigation. And these guys are real smart. And the article, and the insinuation in the article is that this is sort of like a way to make money, you know. And I'm just wondering if any of your panel have read this article or know of this article.
No, there's shaking of head. Oh, Barbara says she.
I did see that article.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, and it's not very promising. The only other thing I'd say that when people call in and talk about these issues, they're always saying how, you know, it's somewhat of a subjective thing. This woman that just called with her wanting her father down here, which is understandable. You know, you want your father in a nursing home 100 miles away. But, you know, if you people think that this is a disaster now, give us 10 or 15 years. When, I mean, the number of people above the age of 65 or 70 are going to double. So, you know, there are all these, you know, government analysis of the budget, half the budgets for medical care for the aging population. Are we promising too much? I mean, I'm 57 now, be 58 in March. I mean, is the government promised? You know, I mean, everybody, you know, we'll take care of you, but how are you going to pay for it? I understand it's a political issue, it's an emotional issue. I mean, I understand all that, but I mean, I think this stuff is not being thought through. And that article to me, I mean, I know it's just stuck to a few states, but I don't know how Illinois law is on this. But, I mean, I think, you know, you guys should be real careful who you sell this to. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Let's make it real clear. The Champaign County Nursing Home, it has not been proposed to sell it. And so I think we want to make sure that's clear. The county board has not talked about that. The county board is focused on, you know, getting the finances back on the positive side of the equation. And again, you know, we're doing that through a variety of means, and Andrew's done a lot of things on the business end to improve the cash flow. But I don't think it's fair for callers to, you know, to insinuate that we're trying to sell it.
I don't know. I mean, as I've said, that it's something that's been just tossed out as a topic for discussion, and I wanted us to talk about it here this morning. But this is something I want to underscore, because Barbara Wysocki said, as far as you were concerned, it's an important institution to the community, and you want to see it continue as it is. And Greg, you said that as far as you were concerned, that it's something that voters have said is important to them. They voted to increase their taxes to put money behind it, and you believe that the county board has made a commitment to having the institution continue and try to have it to run as well as possible. So that what I'm, and obviously you two here are speaking only for yourselves, but would it be correct to say that consensus on the board would be, at least for the present, to maintain the commitment to run the Champaign County Nursing Home? And certainly not, there's, as Greg said, there's nobody really talking now about, well, we just ought to sell it and.
No, I mean, we've talked in Republican caucuses. We've talked and about all kinds of issues. You know, people have been extremely frustrated with the construction process and the deficits and this, that, and the other. But you know, at this point, I guess what my feeling is, and you know, what I hear from others is that we need to move forward with the proposal that we have on the table. I mean, the goal is to improve the cash. You know, the cash flow of the mm-hmm. facility, and we need to be open-minded in how to do that. And I think Andrew's brought a very good proposal to us that the Justice Committee has forwarded to the county board, and that is to put in place this operating board with the idea that their expertise can add additional experience and know-how and whatever to improve the bottom line out there. And that's, you know, we've you know, the voters have said, build it. We've built it. We've spent mm-hmm. the money. And again, I just look at it from a practical point of view. We've invested the money, the taxpayers, and, you know, now it's the county board's responsibility to move that operation forward financially and make it solvent.
Yeah. It's interesting. We had a couple of comments here from people off the air on the subject of the advisory board who seem to be saying the same thing, that, first of all, they think that it's a good idea. But that they would like to make sure that there were some people on the board who were either not county board members and also not people who made their living somewhere in healthcare. They seem to be arguing for, you know, citizen participation in that board from people who were not from either of those groups.
Yes, and I think that's important because. Obviously, when we talk about people on this board who have expertise in healthcare issues, the assumption is, of course, well, they come from some other healthcare institution. And mm-hmm. we know in our local community, there's Carl, there's Provena, there's Christy. I mean, there are lots of those. But I think I think there's probably a cadre of people who have retired from healthcare work of one kind or another. I at the farmer's market this this past summer, I had someone come up to me who not only had a degree, had an MBA, but also had is now retired from one of our local institutions, who was quite interested in the concept, the idea behind the discussions that we were having. I don't know if this is a good match. I don't know if the person is still interested in serving. But again, I think this community is so rich in talent and background and experiences, not only from within our own community, but from areas outside this area who have lived in other parts of the country, lived in other parts of the state, have much to offer. And I don't imagine that we're going to have difficulty finding the right combination of people to serve on this board.
Has in the discussions that you've had so far about the board, have you come to some, let me put it this way, what sort of ideas are there about how it is that the members of this advisory board would be selected? Have you gotten that far?
Well, the bylaws that the county board will act on this month, I think, indicates a breakdown of areas of expertise that we're looking for. I just came through the process of selecting a steering committee for a land resource plan. And, you know, you move into this, you really don't know what you're going to get. And I must say, in that case, it was an 18-person board. We got 30-something applicants, and it turned out to be a very nice mixture of backgrounds, geographic location, experiences, motivations for wanting to serve. I'm anticipating that will pretty much be the case here, which is a 7-person board.
It is.
I really think we will be able to find that right combination. And if we don't, I think it might encourage us to maybe expand our thinking a little bit to include individuals whose background maybe we didn't think about initially.
So you're going to say to the community, we're going to constitute this board, there are going to be this many members. These are the kinds of people we're looking for. Would you be interested in serving?
Right.
People will come forward. And that, so then ultimately, will the board as a whole then vote on
the
membership?
Yes, that's how it works.
Yeah. And that, anything else you want to...
No, I think the point of looking at the DeKalb County model was to bring in that outside point of view. You know, it's people have implied the county board may be shucking their responsibility for the home, but, you know, we're ultimately still responsible for the operation of facilities, still responsible for the hiring of the administrator. But, you know, I'm a believer in what Andrew's brought forward about trying to bring in these outside set of eyes to look at the operation. I, if he feels comfortable, and I know he's thought about it extensively, and we've talked about it extensively at the board level, I think we need to move down that road. And it's nothing, in a year's period of time or, you know, in some length of time, it'll be reevaluated to see what successes it's had and perhaps what changes may need to be added or changed in the bylaws. So it's, you know, I think board members and others need to keep an open mind as we move forward on this to, again, try to bring the nursing home back into the positive cash flow.
Yeah. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus. I get some other callers here in just a moment, but for the benefit of anyone who has just tuned in, I do again want to introduce our guests. Andrew Buffenbarger, he's the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home and has been since 2005. Greg Knott and Barbara Wysocki are both members of the Champaign County Board. Greg's from St. Joe. He represents District 4, has been on the board since 2000. He chairs the Republican Caucus. Barbara Wysocki has been on the board since 1998. She represents District 9, which is is Southeast Urbana. She has, as I said, or maybe you didn't say, she has been on the board since 1998. She was chair from 2004 to 2006. We're talking about the Champaign County Nursing Home and a little bit about some of the challenges it faces and its future. Questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. And we'll talk next with someone in Urbana and online too. Hello.
Hello. I favor privatization of the nursing home because I've seen when government takes over a private enterprise, they have little or no concept of the bottom line, no incentive to economize. In fact, they try to raise taxes as much as possible, and if expenses go up, fine, because then they have a rationale to increase their taxes. So my question is, what incentives, if any, does the public do you have to economize to lessen the ever-increasing burden of taxes upon the public?
Well, either of our county board members can respond to the comment of the caller.
Well, I think it depends on how you define economize. I think when the board made the decision to move from its old facility into its new facility, essentially we were looking at economies because there were lots of areas in the old nursing home that were just simply unusable. They had high ceilings. The heating bill was astronomical. The cooling bill was astronomical. Bathrooms were not ADA compliant. There's a whole laundry list of what was wrong and why we weren't getting maximum efficiencies out of that particular building. But, you know, it's a 98-year-old building, too, which you can only remodel, you can only update so much. I think by moving into this new facility, where we do have maximum space for occupancy, where we do have... We should see efficiencies in the heating and the cooling system, just the ability to move around to build a kind of culture and community within the nursing home that Andrew favors. We have realized some efficiencies. Now, does this mean your tax bill goes down because that has happened? Probably not, because as Andrew indicated earlier, there are forces out there that are continuing to put financial pressures on this nursing home. The fact that, again, we take in as many Medicare, Medicaid patients as we do, and, you know, the state is just unyielding in its financing of people who are in this kind of economic situation, means we have to look at things harder. And again, as Andrew pointed out, looking at creative ways to manage the finances, to look at areas where we have not taken advantage of opportunities, particularly financial opportunities that enable us to reap more revenue, is what this whole process is about right now.
Do you? I'm sorry to have to ask this question, though I want to ask Greg. Going back to 2002, when the first proposal was made to float these bonds, to put the money into building the new building and then putting some money behind its operating costs. Personally, what position did you take? Were you for it or were you against it?
You know, I was on the facilities committee at the time, so I was well versed with the old building. We'd been through it many times. Talked to innumerable consultants about, you know, were there ways to fix the old building. And you know, I can vividly remember the night at the facilities committee that, you know, the draft budget was brought forward about what it would cost to renovate or replace. And, you know, all of us, there was nine or ten of us on that committee, about fell out of our chairs because I don't think any of us anticipated what, you know, the amount of money it was going to take to either fix the old building or to replace it with a new one. You know, I voted to put it on the ballot because it's been a community institution, quite frankly. I thought the voters should have the opportunity to decide on it. And, you know, after they have endorsed it, again, I come back to the fact that county board has a responsibility to run the nursing home as efficiently as we can. You know, to add a little bit to what Barb said, you know, one of the reasons we need to absolutely get to a positive cash balance with the nursing home is because of the other needs in our general corporate fund. I mean, our major expense is courts, jails, public safety. Mm-hmm. And we've helped the nursing home through the last 3 or 4 years. But again, you know, we have a lot of pressures other than just the nursing home in our budget. And so absolutely we have the incentive to help the nursing home. And that's, again, I just want to emphasize, that's why this proposal is so important that we brought forward. It's an absolute right step to moving in that direction.
Yeah. Andrew, do you think, and this indeed was one of the questions I hope to get to sooner or later, that somewhere along the line in the discussion of building the new building was the idea that, in fact, yes, it would be spending a lot of money, but it would be possible through having a more modern, more efficient facility actually to deal with the deficit issue. I mean, do you think that actually in the long run, the new building would contribute to, and what you can do in the new building would get you closer to running in the, being able to run in the black?
Absolutely. We have our first budget fiscal year 08 this year that we plan to end with a positive cash balance. So we believe that building that new building was a good idea. It was a wise business decision, and I think that the deficits are going to end here in the next 12 to 18 months. In fact, we're running currently, we've had the last few months, we're in our fourth month now of positive cash flow, which is remarkable for us.
Okay, let's try and talk at least one more with at least one more person in Urbana, line one.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, I was wondering if you do physical therapy, if you generate income from physical therapy from non-live-in patients.
We do not. We don't offer any outpatient rehabilitation at this time.
Because it seems like that possibly could be, given the rave review of an earlier caller, that might be a possible source of income.
I appreciate the suggestion. We've kicked that idea around a little bit. We have some vacant space that we still have to decide what's going to be running out of it, and it might very well be outpatient therapy. That's a great idea.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's go to Urbana Line 3 for something else, someone else. Hello.
Hello, Ryan T.
Yes.
I would like to take issue with one of those callers that said that any time a public entity like a city or a government takes over, there is more waste. There is certainly a lot of waste in private enterprise as well, if the caller didn't know about that. And secondly, I'd like to also emphasize that a profit motive is added to it so that the issue of cost continues to remain in the private enterprise as well. What is important here is that a service is being offered at an affordable price by a public entity, and it should be maintained. Certainly, every institution has to watch costs, and nobody here on the panel seems to argue against that. I just want to say that as a citizen who has not yet come to that stage where a nursing home is in a question, but everybody of us needs to think about that, and a facility that has been working well and at a good price should be maintained. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Again, I don't know, either of you, Greg or Barbara, could comment. It sounds as if that you would be in. Sounds as if you would be in agreement.
I would.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I would too.
Just real quick, and we're very short on time. I want to ask Andrew, because you have worked in a for-profit nursing home, right? And I asked you earlier, and I thought it was a good, honest response when I said, "Well, what would happen to Champaign County Nursing Home if it went private?" And you said, "Well, I don't know. I can't really tell you what it would happen." But you have worked in both nonprofit and for-profit nursing homes. Do you think that there's necessarily any significant difference in the quality of care or how they operate?
It entirely depends on the governance structure and the leadership at that particular nursing home. It mm-hmm. really does. I have been in a couple of for-profit nursing homes that offered extraordinarily good care. I've been in nonprofits that have offered extraordinarily good care, and government-owned that have offered extraordinarily good care. So it really just depends on the folks who are in that particular location. Hmm.
So we're just about the point we have to finish up here, but just again to mention that now the board at the next board meeting, that's next week, you all are going to be talking some more about this proposal to create this advisory committee.
Right.
So where does that stand and how things have to work through before you get to the point where even the entire board says yay or nay?
Well, what they will do is approve the bylaws. Mm-hmm. I was at the last justice meeting where they really did go over those bylaws with a fine-tooth comb, and kudos to for a very good job. There is still a proposal out there for policy for this group, and that will be the next charge. But I believe that we could begin to move forward with putting out applications for membership on this board, mm-hmm. because there's a time period in there where you have to let things sit, be out in the public for a while. And so it's possible that by March, April, if everything falls into place, we could be in business with this new governance.
And do you think that most board members think that it's a good idea?
I think so. If we get less than 20 votes, I'd be surprised out of 27 of us. I know there's strong consensus to move it forward. It's a no-brainer to do it. It's the right idea. It's worked in DeKalb County, and I think it's worth the effort in Champaign County.
All right. Well, I think at that we're going to have to stop. We're here at the end of the time. I want to say thanks very much to our guests, Greg Knott and Barbara Wysocki. They're both members of the Champaign County Board, and also Andrew Buffenbarger. He's the administrator of the Champaign County Nursing Home. I'm sure it's a story we'll continue to follow. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.